oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is Hidden Killers Year in Review, a look back at the biggest stories of 2025. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Well, the Donna Adelson case is starting to heat up a little bit. Will we make it to trial on the selected date? Well, you know, anything can happen, and a lot has happened. We're no longer talking about some cold case whodunit here. We're talking the home stretch. And Donna Adelson is barreling toward trial with that freight train of evidence about to hit the courtroom and possibly flatten the last line of defense this family has left. We are going to go into the case against Donna Adelson, what's going on, what some of these new motions are meaning, exactly what happened, what it all means, and what's next in this case. To recap quickly, in case you're new to this, Donna Adelson, she's 74. She's accused of helping to orchestrate the 2014 murder of her former son-in-law, Dan Markell, a Florida State law professor. The state alleges that she was part of a conspiracy that included her son, Charlie, who's now serving a life sentence, being part of all this conspiracy. And the hitman, already convicted, that's a different guy. Charlie paid his girlfriend to pay the hitman. The money they're alleging came from Donna. And that's how this is starting to, there's a lot of things. Lots of moving parts in this case. And the woman whose husband it is, or ex-husband it is, that had the hit, she's free as a bird, charged with nothing. Maybe she didn't know anything about this. But you got to wonder, did you ever wonder if your family was this evil? if you didn't know that they're... It's a web of payments, cover-ups, and lies that stretch from South Florida all the way to Tallahassee. But while the backstory is wild, we're not here to rehash 9 years of history. There's a lot of that on our channel. You can go back and you can find it. Just search Donna Adelson here on the Hidden Killers podcast, and you will find a gazillion things about her. So we're here to talk about what's landing in that courtroom as evidence when the jury selection begins coming up on August 19th. So let's start with the most explosive piece. And I want to hear what your thoughts are in the comments too on YouTube. So please do let me know. The one-way flight to Vietnam. Donna was arrested at Miami International Airport with a suitcase packed and a visa in hand, heading to a country with no extradition treaty just days after Charlie's conviction. The state's going to hammer this like Thor in a hardware store. Consciousness of guilt, check, attempted flight, check. Panic-induced Google search for countries that don't extradite, probably in her browser history. She wasn't jetting off for spring rolls and sightseeing. She was allegedly running from justice. And let's not pretend she was just tagging along on a vacation. The prosecution has receipts, literally, tickets, visa applications, communications. It wasn't some spontaneous getaway. It was premeditated, intentional dodgeball. And the state will likely urge and argue that it's one of the clearest indicators that Donna knew the hammer was coming down. Then there's the jail calls between Donna and Charlie, recorded after Charlie's arrest and conviction. These calls are damning and so did not need to happen. Not because of some Scooby-Doo style confession, but because of what they imply. Coded language. And, oh, if you haven't had a chance to go listen to these, go listen to these. We have them also up on our channel. That might just be some fun little ones to bring back for some popcorn some night. Nervous jokes, Donna's own bizarre phrases, like something out of a discount mob movie you find at the dollar store that surprisingly is still on beta. And they're selling it at the dollar store. It's like, is this an ad? This actually might be worth more than a dollar now. One such phrase. We would have already gone to the airport. Oh, really, Donna? That line didn't age well, especially once you actually tried to go to the airport in 2023. The jury won't have to speculate. These aren't paraphrased summaries. They'll hear her voice, her tone, her cadence. And when that voice wavers under pressure or slips something too close to the truth, it's not going to sound like a grieving grandma. It's going to sound like someone who knew far more than she's ever admitted. Then the undercover FBI bump operation. That was a big thing. The sting, straight out of The Americans, only less subtle. Back in 2016, agents staged an extortion drop and captured audio of Donna and Charlie discussing what they framed as a threat from someone demanding money. Instead of saying, let's call the police, the conversation wandered into dangerous territory. Donna was recorded saying something to the effect of, it's the kind of thing you can't undo and we would have already gone to the airport. Sound familiar? It was in those lines. Prosecutors will say this shows Donna wasn't panicked. She was prepared, prepared to run, prepared to pay, and allegedly prepared to stay quiet. Another major nail, raw cell phone extraction data from Donna's seized phone. The defense tried to stall or suppress its release, citing privacy concerns and procedural issues. But as of June of 25, it's fair game. Prosecutors believe this treasure trove could contain texts, calls, location pings, and detailed or deleted data that paint a picture of premeditation, coordination, and post-crime damage control. They're not looking for a smoking gun. They're looking for a breadcrumb trail Donna may have left behind in her digital life. Also, lining up to testify, three convicted co-conspirators. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the courtroom, Luis Riviera, Sigfrido Garcia, and Catherine McBonna. How are you guys doing today? Welcome to Jerry. Each have their own motive to cooperate. Each carrying a firsthand account of what happened, when, and allegedly who gave them the orders. These aren't just filler witnesses. They're the bones of the plot, the ones who executed the plan. And if any of them put Donna in the room, metaphorically or literally, the impact on the jury could be devastating. But perhaps the most dramatic of all of this is the alleged plot to silence witnesses from behind bars. According to law enforcement affidavits disclosed earlier this year, Donna and her husband, Harvey, were caught discussing potential efforts to deal with witnesses who might testify against her, allegedly, including, disturbingly, their own estranged son, Robert. Yes, you know, that Robert, the one that shows up to Thanksgiving, brings not a turkey, not a side, but a ham. We don't have hams at Thanks. I'm kidding. I know nothing about Robert, but I do applaud him for getting as far away from that family as he possibly can. You saw the light. Bravo to you. Prosecutors won't need to establish that one. It sounds villainous enough on its own. Whether it makes it past pretrial motions remains to be seen. But even the whiff of it could taint everything like that ham. Yeah, and a lot of other things that she has in her defense. Speaking of testimony, let's talk about the wild card, Wendy. Wendy Adelson, Donna's daughter, Dan's ex, immunized witness, fiction novelist, and possibly the most reluctant truth teller in the courtroom. She testified during Charlie's trial, but this time her mother is the one on the line. Prosecutors will try to squeeze new truths from her, or at least expose contradictions in her old ones. And they'll absolutely bring up her novel, a fictional tale that eerily mirrors her real-life divorce, relocation struggles, and power dynamics. It's less eat, pray, love, and more how to lose a husband in 10 years. And while we're at it, don't overlook the financial trail. Prosecutors plan to introduce over 130 exhibits, including checks, bank records, and dental office payments allegedly funneled to McBonna. Donna's financial fingerprints might not be on the gun, but they're allegedly all over the money that paid for the trigger. So, what does all of this mean in this case? Well, the trial's a referendum on more than one murder. It's about control. It's about entitlement. And it's about whether a wealthy, educated family thought they could outmaneuver the justice system for over a decade. The fight to Vietnam will be painted as more than a bad look. It'll be framed as Donna's confession in action. She didn't say, "I did it." She showed it with a visa application and a carry-on bag. Every juror has seen enough true crime shows to know that people who flee rarely do so for innocent reasons. The jail calls, they're not just conversations. They're windows into the mindset of someone trying to maintain narrative control even as the world burned down around her. Every pause, every carefully chosen euphemism will be dissected in court, and every eye in the jury box will be watching how she reacts when they're replayed. Wiretap bump up, it's the kind of thing that prosecutors dream about. Spontaneous, unscripted, and riddled with ambiguity makes the jury lean forward and wonder, what are they hiding? Donna didn't sound panicked. She sounded prepared, calm, calculating, allegedly. And don't underestimate the witness tampering angle. Even if not admitted as direct evidence, it casts a long shadow. Jurors may hear testimony from witnesses who feared for their safety, who claimed they were threatened or offered money. The kind of testimony colors everything else in the case. And if Donna, it turns Donna from allegedly being a co-conspirator to a potential puppet master. I guess you have to say it and do that action at the same time. Puppet master. Kind of get the shivers. And I'm thinking of the NSYNC album when I'm getting the shivers too. Maybe it's that the Lou guy that was managing them back then. Wendy's role also cuts both ways. If she testifies with icy detachment, she risks looking complicit. If she breaks down, it might be the prosecution's emotional linchpin. Either way, Donna's own daughter is being called against her. The optics of that aren't great, even if the defense claims it's all strategy. This isn't about proving Donna Adelson loaded a gun. It's about showing she built the scaffolding for a murder. She built this city. She built this city on rock and, okay, no. Then she handed off the blueprints and smiled while someone else did the dirty work and then tried to sweep up the mess when it got too loud. If the jury buys that, that's more than enough for a conviction. So what is next? Well, jury selection supposed to begin August 19th, at least as of this recording. This has changed quite a bit. And you better believe it's going to be a psychological minefield. The defense is still hoping to get the trial moved out of Leon County, claiming media saturation has poisoned the well. But unless you can find a juror who's been in a cave for 10 years without Wi-Fi in that part of the country, that argument's running out of steam. Once the trial kicks off, it'll move fast. Prosecutors want to hit hard and early. Expect the first few days to be all about intent. Why Donna would want Dan Markell gone? What stood there for to be her to be gained? And how that desire allegedly turned into action. From there, the state will walk the jury through every breadcrumb, wire transfers, conversations, interviews, recordings, timelines. Every recording will be played with surgical timing. Every witness will be vetted, exposed, and either solidified or shredded on cross. Donna's attorneys will be trying to paint her as a mother caught in a whirlpool that she didn't create, but that she'll be, it'll be hard. It'll be hard to do that. And so when the prosecution's narrative is as strong as it is and it suggests that she was the one spinning the whirlpool in the first place, expect at least one of two shocking moments, unexpected testimony, an emotional breakdown, a text message that lands with a thud. Trials like this don't go quietly, not when they've been simmering for over a decade, and certainly not when the stakes are this high. If convicted, Donna faces the rest of her life in prison. No parole, no retirement home, just the closing chapter of a case that's haunted the Tallahassee's legal world for years. If acquitted, she walks. The narrative of the Markell murder shifts once again, leaving one of Florida's most bizarre murder sagas still, well, it's not really unsolved, but just who all was in on this? One thing is for sure, when that courtroom opens and Donna Adelson takes her seat at the defense table, it won't just be a trial. It'll be the final act of a decade-long drama. Or will it? Or will this just be the very beginning of more convictions in the Adelson family? Time will tell. Time will tell. No one else has been charged as of this time, and everyone, including Donna, is presumed innocent until proven guilty. Tell me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not on our YouTube channel, if you're listening to the podcast, please do check us out there. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you can join us there. And yeah, jump in on all of that with us. We do greatly appreciate it. It's a crazy case. I'm hopeful the trial's going to start here in August, but I don't know. They've been finding so many ways to inch this thing back. Nothing, honestly, would surprise me at this point. But when it gets there, it's going to be something. It really is. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Imagine this. You're in your 70s. You've lived a life where you've been the center of the family universe, the planner, the fixer, the person everyone calls before they make a big decision because they don't want to see that kind of reaction. Would you want that kind of reaction? Anytime you bring someone or something to mom, you see that face, it's like,
I had a mother-in-law. I'm not going to go into great detail here. It's not a current one, but she was an alcoholic. Her face was, I just got blurry. I said alcoholic
as,
and she went.
And as you said face as well,
did,
you went blurry.
Yeah. Let me see if I can get myself back in focus. But mother-in-law was a raging alcoholic, mm-hmm. and like she had serious issues, and her face could get like that on occasion.
Yeah,
it really could, and she was brutal. You didn't want to deal with her, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I wouldn't want that ever again.
I mean, that's like the surprise. I'm not surprised. I'm overly surprised.
And I'm angry. It's like everything all at once.
Yeah.
Everything all at once and then turned onto hyperdrive for effect. Well now, picture this. You're sitting in a courtroom accused of helping orchestrate the murder of your former son-in-law, the father of your grandkids. You're staring down charges of first-degree murder, conspiracy, and solicitation. You've got a legal team. You've got the right to stay silent. But Donna Adelson, at least according to what's been filtering out, doesn't want to stay silent. She wants to take the stand. Now, we're going to give you a little preview of what that might look like by looking back on one of the more recent times she's taken the stand and how well that worked out or not. But in the true crime world, when we hear a defendant wants to testify, we usually think one of two things. Either the case against them is so thin that their testimony might sway the jury just flat out, or they think they can outsmart everyone in the room. And when you start walking through the evidence stacked against Donna, you realize this isn't about a thin case.
No.
It's option number two.
She is that bold and that arrogant that she thinks she can sway a jury.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to be a fun client for an attorney.
They've gone through several.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean.
That's been what's moved or not moved this case, or moved this case, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Stalled it and moved it at the same time.
The evidence is so stacked against this woman. I don't know how you fight this. The 18 checks alone. It was 18, right? 16 or 18?
It's in here somewhere, but there's a lot.
I want to say 18.
Yeah.
And I've had my fish oil tablets today or capsules today. So I think I'm right about that. I'll have to check. But
fish oil to the rescue. I mean, they have her emails clear as day. Redonna's strategizing about how to get her daughter, Wendy, and the boys out of Tallahassee and down to South Florida. Not in the maybe someday kind of way either, but in a let's offer him $1 million payout kind of way. That bribe wasn't a vague idea. It was broken down into who would pay what and split it out amongst the fam. And when that didn't work, she suggested using religion as a weapon, telling Wendy to threaten raising the boys Catholic, knowing exactly how deeply that would cut against Dan Markell's Jewish faith, which it would. And last time I checked, this is nothing to do with Donna Adelson. This is 1,000% between Wendy and Dan Markell. Donna? It doesn't matter what Donna wants. Unfortunately, Wendy doesn't realize that or doesn't accept that, or that's just not how she plays. Whatever it is, it's turned into this. Because Donna was going to have her way or no way, it seems. Because I don't think this is all on Charlie.
No.
I don't think this is all on Charlie. And the evidence, it's there. And we're going to watch a little bit in just a few moments. And then there's what Dan himself put in the court filing, his kids telling him Grandma Donna called him stupid and said that she hated him for taking her sunshines away. That's not a warm in-law dynamic. I had once when we were getting ready to move, not in a way of trying to. It was a grandmother trying to influence our kids to not want us to. Instead of making it easier for them, it was trying to make guilt them, basically.
Oh, God, that's such a horrible game to play with children.
And that was with my partner. And it was, you know, so it wasn't like pitting us against each other. It was pitting the kids against us.
That's just horrible.
And that was, I mean.
You don't do that to kids.
No. Well, that person's no longer in our lives.
My father did the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it scars kids for life. It's It's so inappropriate. If you've got a beef with a parent, you take it up with the parent.
Yeah.
Got a beef with a grandparent, that's who you deal with. Just knock it off, you know?
Yeah. It was a fun evening. I had to kick her out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because it just, it was a mess.
Wow.
Yeah. And, it's like, you just need to go. But yeah, I'm having flashbacks now.
Woo! Sorry. That's horrible.
So it's cases like this. It's cases like this where, you know, certain things speak to you if you've ever had a dynamic of this or that. And that's an important thing you got to be aware of when you're trying to evaluate a case. Even if you have like a personal story or someone that reminds you of a Donna Adelson, that person is not that person that's going to be on the stand that's being tried. So you gotta lift that stuff out of your consideration and go, yeah, I mean, you know, you can't look at it that way because it's going to bias you against that type of a character. But it certainly can also help you understand the character better in a lot of ways. It helps connect a lot of dots, which I find interesting. So fast forward to the day of the murder. Wendy calls her mom after the shooting, and Donna's first call after that isn't to police. It's to Charlie. And within minutes, Charlie is on the phone with Catherine McBona, the woman already convicted of connecting Charlie to the hitmen. If you're a juror looking at that sequence, it doesn't feel like chaos. It feels kind of like coordination. The financial trail doesn't stop her either. Over a year's worth of checks drawn from Adelson's dental practice, all made out to McBona, 18 of them, every single signed by Donna. You called it, right?
Yeah, there it was.
You had 18. Well, God bless that fish oil.
I know, right?
Was
it your omega-3s, people.
Was it blessed fish oil? There's a business. Holy fish oil. Clean your arteries with Christ.
Oh, Tony.
That's the slogan.
And you should sell bread. It should be fishes and loaves.
This could be like, I could totally see this being in like at a mega church. Like as you're walking out. And this is like literally the stand. It's Jesus. And there's all the, like the fish oils right there.
That'd be so perfect.
And he has like a thing, like clean your arteries through Christ. Oh my God. It sounds insane. It sounds utterly ridiculous, but you know what? I wouldn't put it past, you know, there's plenty out there that would do it.
You're not wrong.
That would be a great one. The Righteous Gemstones, that would have been, like the prayer pods, that sort of a thing. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not trying to be disrespectful by any means. I'm just being ironic with the times. So all of the checks, all 18 signed by Donna, prosecutors say those weren't paychecks. They were installments for the murder for hire dressed up as payroll. And then the FBI sting. That happened in 2016. Agents staged a blackmail approach, sliding her a fake message suggesting someone knows what happened to Dan. Her response, she calls Charlie. And on a recorded call, she frames it as involving the two of us. If you're the prosecution, that's a golden soundbite. So here's the question. Why would she want to walk into the fire and testify? Control.
Yes.
Control. Janet, right?
Janet wrote that song for her.
Yeah. If you look at the arc of her life, she's always been the one in charge of the narrative. They could look from the outside and look like confidence sometimes. In the behavioral world, You might call it kind of a self-assuredness that edges into something else. A belief that you can talk your way through any situation, no matter how bad it looks. It's the same mindset that can make someone think, if I can just explain this to them, they'll see it my way.
Mm-mm.
And you know, she's gotten away with it through most of her life, I am sure. Otherwise, she wouldn't still be doing this.
Well, you don't, and I've said this before, you don't just wake up one day and go, I'm going to kill somebody. Or somebody's pissed me off enough that, well, you know what? The solution to this is obviously I need to kill them.
I don't know. I now it's getting in. I wouldn't guess that there were other hit plans in the world of Donna Adelson.
No, but she's probably been escalating her entire life.
Yes. She's
probably the evil grandmother. She's probably been the friend that gets cut out of friend groups because, oh my God, we just can't take any more of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's just been escalating, and maybe she just got to this point where it's like, well, you know what? I'm in my 70s or late 60s at the time.
Yeah. Just screw it.
Yeah. They took away my sunshine. I'm going to deal with this now.
I don't know. I mean, that I think that's kind of what the prosecution, that is pretty much, I think, what the prosecution is trying to play. That would be kind of what the trailer would be made out to be in the Lifetime 3-part miniseries, where Jane Seymour plays the role of Donna Adelson in the saddest role of a lifetime.
That would be a sad role.
Wouldn't Sully it? Will be coming back to play the role of what's his name? Harvey of Harvey.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Harvey.
And Sully will still look like he did in 1989 on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. Mm-hmm. Same long hair, just a lot older.
Yeah.
Really gray.
Yeah, right.
And he's tatted up, and he joined the Latin Kings for a while. And so it's a very different Sully you're going to get, but the hair is still there.
Imagination is just beyond. I love it, though.
This is all coming up on that Lifetime Donna Adelson miniseries. Anyway, testifying isn't a conversation you can steer. It's not a kitchen table debate. It's controlled by someone whose job is to dismantle your credibility piece by piece, and the state will have every damning email, phone record, and bank check queued up from the moment that they see the smallest crack. When you've lived decades as the person who sets the terms, being cross-examined can feel like being stripped of oxygen. The risk there is massive. If Donna comes out as evasive, defensive, or worse, entitled, it will feed directly into the prosecution's theory of her as someone who believed she could bend reality to fit her goals. The jurors won't just hear her words. They'll read the pauses, the tension in her voice, the flickers of irritation. They'll be measuring not just the story she tells, but whether they believe she's been telling the truth for the past decade. Why do I say this? Because, well, here. Take a look. This is the last time Donna Adelson testified.
For the record, make sure you speak into the microphone.
Yes, Donna Adelson.
Now, I want to direct your attention. I heard the call earlier. The call on November 7th, 2023 at about 3:00 in the afternoon. And for the record, that was call number 561. Do you remember where you were?
Yes, I was in my apartment in my living room.
Do you remember who was present when you got the call?
Yes, my husband, Harvey. Friends of mine, my attorney, Susan Brotman, and her husband, Richard Shadron.
You said your attorney, what kind of law does Ms. Brotman practice? Did she?
She does estate planning.
Was Ms. Brotman present at your apartment for the purposes of providing you with legal counsel?
Yes, she was.
And you remember receiving the call from Charlie?
Yes, of course.
And where was Charlie at the time?
So he was in a room by himself. It was after the conviction.
Was he in the jail?
He was in jail.
Okay. What did you do when you saw that Charlie was calling?
Answered the phone.
And you heard the recording that we played earlier?
Yes.
And you agreed for your call with your son to be recorded, correct?
Yes.
As the call was happening, do you know at what point Charlie was no longer on the call?
No, only when I was talking, and then all of a sudden I asked him something, and I said, "Charlie, do you hear me, Charlie?" And I said it a few times, and he didn't respond anymore. And I knew the call was over.
Now, during the time that your son was incarcerated in Leon County Jail, did that happen more than, was that a frequent occurrence?
Yeah, it happens. It happens a lot, unfortunately.
Okay. And would there be times when you didn't realize at first that he was no longer on the call?
Yes.
Where in your apartment were you when this happened?
So I was in my living room.
And you heard your voice on that first call number 562, when you repeated, "Charlie, Charlie, are you there?"
Right.
Did you believe the call had ended?
Yes.
And what would, in times prior to this, what would happen after that? What would you do when that would happen?
If he didn't respond anymore, that was it. The call was over.
And what would you do with your phone?
I'd hang up.
Now, same thing with the call on November 8th of 2023, the one at 6:38 in the morning. Do you know at what point your son was no longer on the phone?
I don't. I don't remember that.
In either one of those situations, or in both of the situations, did you believe the call was over?
Yeah, the call was over. He was gone.
And you went about your business?
Yes.
Now, with respect to the November 7th, 2023 phone call when your attorney, your husband, and your husband were present at your apartment, did you agree for your attorney-client conversation to be recorded?
No.
Did you agree for your conversation with your husband to be recorded?
No, of course not.
Now, the following day, did you agree for your subsequent conversation with your husband to be recorded?
No.
She doesn't come across
you
well.
You heard the recording.
No, she doesn't.
To consent to this call, press 1. Or recording of this call, press 1. Correct?
Correct.
And you hung up the phone after those calls were over.
But I did.
Just a moment, Your Honor. Nothing further at this time, Your Honor.
Cross-examination.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning.
So there in the room with you during this call was, you said your one of your attorneys, Susan Brotman, your husband, and then also Susan Brodmann's husband.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And he was not your attorney.
He was not.
Your attorney?
No, he's not an attorney.
Okay. You were informed at the beginning of that call, this is the one on November 7th that recorded you while they were all in the room, you were informed that you were being recorded if you accepted that call?
Yes.
Okay. And that if you do not want to be on that recorded call, that you needed to hang up the call. Is that right?
Are you saying, does the recording say?
Right. If you do not want to accept that recorded call, you should hang up.
If you do not, yeah, no, I accepted the recorded call.
Okay. And you typically do hang up your calls, you said, after.
I mean, I think I do.
Your call with Charlie Adelson when he was in custody. All right. But this particular call that day, evidently, you did not properly hang up, right?
Evidently.
Okay. And have you ever forgotten to press a button on a call before?
I mean, it may have happened. I don't know.
Sure. Has your phone pocket dialed people before?
Has it what?
Pocket dialed people before? I mean, when you've been out of custody.
Pocket dialed?
Right.
I don't know what you mean.
Like if your phone is in your pocket or in your purse and it accidentally calls someone you didn't mean it to?
I mean, that could have happened, sure.
Okay. And you also could have not pressed the button on your cell phone to end a call before, right?
It's possible.
Okay. It's not quite as big of a deal as it used to be when you would actually have to hang up the phone.
Right.
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 Okay. That's all. Thank you.
For a direct examination.
Briefly, Your Honor. The consent that you gave for the call to be recorded, when did that end?
It ended when Charlie hung up, or when it, whatever stopped the call. I mean, I don't know how it stopped, but it stopped. When the call was over with Charlie, it was over.
Okay. Nothing further.
You messed up, though.
So basically what they're arguing there, this was from a little while back, is if the evidence can stay in where she yabbers a little bit more on the phone. I think Stacy's frozen behind me, or she's fallen asleep. I'm going to go with frozen behind me. this is why we do this live.
Oh, Are you there, Stacy?
I know I'm here. Yeah, I was just texting you. Yeah, I must have frozen or something.
I was going to just reset it, but there you are. But it's like, is she asleep?
No, I'm really here.
Anyway, so what they're attesting to here in this is if that phone call where she says some incriminating stuff after she thinks the phone is hung up and it's not hung up, and if that can be admitted into court, or if her consent to be recorded ended when she believed the phone had hung up, because she certainly would not have said those things had she known she was being recorded. So where does that line cross in terms of legality?
It's an interesting thing for our attorneys to argue that
is.
Because really where does that end? Does it end at when the phone call is terminated?
Well, exactly. It is a question, but anyway, that was more of a preview of what you can expect with her on the stand. And if you're listening to this in podcast form, you're missing out because the eyes are, there's something to watch. I mean, I have t-shirt ideas going through my mind of some really cool Donna Adelson themed t-shirts. Can you do that? Can we do merch based on the people being tried?
Well, you know, maybe. I mean,
I don't know.
But some might buy them because they love her. I mean, that
I don't think there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of people with that, but I think that would be a funny idea. Anyway, we need an art department.
Oh boy. Yeah. Tony's wheels are spinning right now.
Cause it's pretty much me and I love doing it. I love creating all these things. Anyway, that's what you would get if Donna Adelson was going to, or if she plans to apparently, take the stand. And that's why this move, if she actually follows through on it, is a high wire act. Without a net, in her mind, maybe she sees this as her shot to win back the story. But In reality, the second she's sworn in, the story is no longer hers to control. It belongs to the prosecution, the defense, and 12 strangers in that jury box looking at your every, oh my God, reaction. I mean, it's just tone. I don't know if she can tone that back. It's just, it's a look of disgust. It's a look of like, how dare you question this? Like, this is just, and the shaking of the head, like, why, like, this is below me. I mean, that's how I perceive it. Yeah. Whether that's what she's intending to be perceived as is up to her. And she may not even mean that, but all that's going to matter. All of that matters. And, you know, if 8 out of 10 people feel that way, that's not a good thing. So she's got to take a little bit of lessons here in self-control when on the stand.
Why start now?
Yeah, well, exactly. But I mean, if I were her attorney, that would be what I would be doing. Like, or you, do you want to spend the rest of your life in prison? Okay. If you do, then just go do whatever the hell you want, because there's nothing I can do to help you at this point anymore. If you're going to listen, here's some things you can do. And that image has got to change before those jurors see her.
I think we're going to have a Code Red moment. If you've watched A Few Good Men, there's going to be a Code Red moment on the stand if she's up there.
It didn't work for Charlie. It did not work for Charlie. It's not going to work for Donna. And obviously you can't diagnose a woman, but it's a total narcissist move of, I can handle this too. Like, cause the last catastrophes that got you this far, you handled so well.
Yeah.
Like, it's been, this is why you are where you are. Maybe it's time to say, Jesus, take the wheel.
Right?
That would be, I should make an AI video of Donna Adelson in a car to the Carrie Underwood song.
Mm-hmm. You're on to some things today.
On to some things or on some things today?
Well, you tell me. I don't know. You're on a roll.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I'm always impressed, but this is a little bit, you've taken it up a notch. This is good stuff.
You know, it's Monday.
You should be writing some of these ideas down. You may never do anything with them, but at least jot them down so that we can look back at them in a week or two.
I'm kind of like in a creative mood today. I don't know. It's Monday that we're recording this, and I had a fairly slow morning, which was kind of nice. And, kind of just eased into the day. So like, I feel like I'm kind of hitting full throttle right now rather than at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
So, and I still have to do Real Ghost Stories Online tonight. So if you like ghost stories, that's the other podcast that we have out there. Check it out. All right. That's Donna Adelson. Jury selection starts the 19th. They're estimating like 4 days, I think. And then, I think I could be wrong here. So before he's like, he's false reporting, from what I remember. So go look it up. I think the prosecution said they wanted like a week and a half, which I was kind of surprised by. I thought that was low. And the defense, I think, was a little bit longer than that. It was like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Again, I could be wrong. I apologize if I am. I'm not trying to state that as a fact. I saw we were getting hammered the other day because of the Brian Koberger glove box.
Yes.
Because it was in a glove in a box. And it was like, okay, honest mistake there, and doesn't change the context of anything.
No, it doesn't. But people will be keyboard warriors and want to bring you down a couple notches for a mistake.
I mean, it was like, oh, okay, well, and yeah, I honest to God, you know, a lot of the way that we put stories together and stuff, I use a lot of AI to help just kind of shuffle things in order and gather information. And even that didn't catch it. That was saying glove box, because even when I went back to work, write another story on it earlier today, I had to keep correcting AI because it kept trying to go back and saying glove box.
I have seen that online in other places, so I don't know it's.
No,
I mean, I
love the vitriol. It's just funny. And it's like, you guys care and that's good. And I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Just when it gets to be like, oh, you shred of credibility, like fuck off. Like that's just going to get you blocked. Like, but it's like, hey, by the way, it's this. Cool. Thank you. I appreciate that. But some of these people, it's like, Jesus Christ, what?
Well,
what else is like, this is the life. This is where you can expel that energy. Okay. Like, yeah, it'd be good if we're doing it productively.
One of the things when I was in radio, if somebody was critical of a newscast that I would do, I put the newscast together. This was well before any sort of AI or anything. Yeah. I wrote the news. I delivered the news. Mm-hmm. I've won awards for that. Just going to say that. But if somebody got critical, it was like, okay, where do you work? Because I want to come and see how you do.
No, I know. Yeah.
My work is just presented on the air.
Yeah.
Everybody can hear it. Your work may be a little more private, but I bet you make mistakes too.
Yeah. It just is what it is.
And show a little grace. People do make errors. It's okay.
Well, and look, we're in a world where people like make a living off of being a troll.
Right.
So it's like, I just kind of laugh sometimes. It's like, that's creative as shit, like completely insane, but very creative. and to get past like the censor type or the spam things out there to block that sort of stuff. Like, okay, that's creative. Like you're insane.
I'm
going
to talent.
You're insane. I'm going to block you, but that's points for creative. Tell me
how I can make money being a troll. I'd like a little more info on this.
Go to the dark webs and find out. There's ways. Just ask ChatGPT. It'll tell you. All right. There you go. Let us know what your thoughts are on the Adelson case in the comments so we can read them and hear them. And we'll talk about them as there's going to be a lot of Adelson talk in the coming weeks as that trial. If everything stays on track, and this has gone off the rails around this piece of track a couple times, they say it's fixed. They say the train is going to be able to make it into the station. Barring,
I don't know,
Charlie not tying Donna to the tracks or something. Who knows? Anything's possible. Harvey's going to suddenly, I don't know. Anyway. There'll be a lot of it coming up. So let us know your thoughts in the comments on YouTube. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening. If it's on YouTube or if it's the podcast platforms, whatever it is, hit subscribe. And thank you very much. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.